104, and right now we are going to the phone lines where we are joined by Karen Budzinski. She's the author of the book, How to Build an Enduring Marriage. Karen, welcome to the AM Mayhem.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you with us, and, you know, we were kind of just chatting a little bit off the air, you know, just about the importance of this issue because of the state of marriage in America today.
You know, it's that dangerous point. I was actually asked the other day by a well-meaning person who really wanted the answer, and he asked me what I thought someone could do when they loved their wife and they loved their children, but they just needed to have flings here and there. And he really was sincere about the question. But that is the state of people's ideas for marriage relationships.
Yeah, which is, that's the fact that you would ask that question in a serious way is sad a commentary as just about anything we could think of.
And it does put us on alert. And I think the saddest thing is that a lot of people are looking for things outside of their marriage, which can easily be found inside of their marriage, and there wouldn't be a need to have some things that they're looking for met outside of the marriage.
Well, you address a lot of the challenges to marriage in your book. And one thing you talk about is, and I think this is a good one, because this is something that can be going along, even in marriages that right now are seem okay, but maybe set you up for some trouble later on. And you talk about some of the how we can identify some of the destructive habits that are there in our marriage that are kind of eating away at it. What are some of those habits, and how can we maybe kind of get ahead of them before they really start causing huge problems?
That's a good question, because I liken it to a sports player who, when they hire a coach, can spot something that may be working in the game right now, but if you do it consistently and long-term, your arm could break down or the game will break down. And I think some of those things are very well-meaning and well-intentioned at first. For example, I have a lot of people come to me several years into their marriage and say, my husband and my wife isn't investing into our relationship anymore. I never made them do anything for me, and now it just seems like their heart isn't there. And that goes back to a basic principle: to where our treasure or our deposit is, our heart is there also. You're not doing your spouse a favor by not allowing them to do things for you. You need to sacrificially do things for each other, because that's why we love our hamster and our fish, because we take care of them and we invest in them. When we stop allowing our partner to do things sacrificially for us, thinking that it's doing them or us a, you know, favor, it actually breaks down the relationship. Another thing is, a lot of times women that are well-meaning will not discuss things that are controversial with their spouse, so just kind of sweep it under the rug, not realizing that there's going to be a big lump in the middle of that rug that both of them are going to be tripping over if those issues aren't addressed.
You also talk about, and I know this is not just in marriage, but in any relationship, communication is always a big issue. What are some of the things that we do that or some common obstacles that kind of hinder our ability to have good and open communication?
Well, I don't think we listen well enough. I know a lot of business schools are actually making their employees go through listening school, just because I think when people listen, they're actually planning on the next thing they're going to say, rather than really hearing what the other person's trying to communicate. I think our body language is way stronger than we realize, and sometimes communicates a different message than what we're saying with our words.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that we take a lot for granted in what another person thinks, just basing it on the way that we think, when a lot of times their perspective is a real part of what our day is, just as if a ref or an ump is making a call. We might not see it that way, but it needs to become part of the game. Also, I think that we speak with the wrong motives. A lot of times in communicating, I've helped couples to really examine the motives of what they're trying to achieve or attain by the communication. Another thing is wrong timing. Sometimes it's not even what you're saying, it's just when you're saying it, or with what tone of voice, or in what way. Esther knew good enough to make her husband a few good meals before she communicated the life or death situation, and she really watched how she communicated it, and I think that that worked out to her advantage. Sometimes we need to pay attention to things, and you are right. If these principles don't just apply to marriage, they apply to your work relationships, your relationships with your family, and I think just the general breakdown in relationships is just because we haven't learned basic principles of communication.
You know, and as you mentioned those, especially I think in a marriage, if you've been married for a while, like the listening component, you know, that old adage, oh, we can finish each other's sentences. And I think you do fall in that trap, like, oh, I know what they're going to say about this anyway. So you kind of tune them out because it's like, ah, I've heard this before. I know what they're going to say, when they might be saying something totally different.
You're right. And that's why it's good to clarify what somebody else is trying to say and say, did you just say that? Because a lot of times a wife will hear something a husband will say, or even vice versa. And then what they'll turn around and interpret that as is, he just said he doesn't love me, or he doesn't care. He didn't say that at all. He might be working through something that's an issue for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times, too, people that get certain things into their mind, they will repaint their past to justify their present or what their decisions that they're making for their future. So they might even start to try to build a case for something that wasn't even reality. That's why a lot of times when you're talking to a friend or you're talking to someone that you've been in their life, and you'll hear them say, oh, we were never that close anyways, or they never really did this anyways, and your mouth drops open, you're saying, I was there, you did have something, what are you doing? And what they're trying to do is to justify some of the actions that they're intending to take for the future. So it is really smart to listen, to be aware, and to communicate effectively, and to make sure that you are restating what the other person's trying to say to you to make sure that you're hearing it correctly.
And I would imagine, too, Karen, even in the best of marriages, let's say you got a marriage where people are trying to communicate and they're putting in the work that they need to, and there's a solid foundation there, you're still going to have just ups and downs, natural ups and downs in the midst of that relationship, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there was a recent article in the Wall Street Journal that was talking about relationships, and it was bringing out the importance of negative feelings and how that can steer your destiny. And so even just the things that you think, sometimes there are two groups of people, actually. There's people that know they're going to get married, they're going to have highs and lows, they're going to be in for the long haul. And then there's people who are so idealistic, they're just shocked when the problems come. I liken that to an airplane ride. When I get into the airplane, when the pilot comes on and says, we're going to be experiencing turbulence for a few hours, everybody doesn't just grab their parachute and jump out of the plane. We buckle down, we brace ourselves, and we get ready because we are headed for destination. And so I like to tell people in marriage, what are you headed for? What do you want said at your 50th anniversary? What do you want to still be in love or just stuck with each other? Once you know what your destination is, buckle down and get ready for a little bit of turbulence along the way, because otherwise it's not realistic.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a great analogy, that airplane analogy, because you're right. I mean, anymore, in a lot of marriages, the first sign of turbulence, boom, they're both out, you know, out the door flying down with the parachute, and sometimes not even with the parachute. They're just jumping out of the plane, and it seems like every time, you know, the first time they hit a bump in the road, they're ready to give in instead of, you know, realizing that's just a natural part of any relationship.
It's kind of scary because you don't realize that if you can't handle the dynamics of this relationship because of the demands on it, to take the baggage from that and put that around your shoulders and then move on to the next one has even less of a chance of surviving.
Yeah.
I have a lot of women come in and men tell me that a lot of times couples are just in a funk and they don't have the tools to get out of it. So when I first got married 33 years ago, I decided to keep my marriage strong. I was going to work on building stronger relationships. So a month in, I got 50 women together, and we started working on building strong relationships. And I didn't even know then that that was going to be a life passion of mine, and that it, just because the demand was there, people would say, keep having that class. And so here I am 33 years later, with all these tools, and finally I was compelled to put them all into a book and a workbook and a teacher's guide. And what I'm hoping is that across the nation, that we can have some leaders step up, get small groups together, start groups in churches like we've done with my husband and I, and start building strong relationships before the troubles come, and realize some of the tools that will get you through some of those funks and through some of that turbulence, and learn some communication skills, listening skills, what is reasonable, what is realistic. And I think that if we can start a movement like that, that we can put some strength back into some families.
We're talking with Karen Budzinski. The book is How to Build an Enduring Marriage. So, Karen, if folks want to get a hold of these resources, the book and the teacher's guide and all the rest, how can they find out more about them?
Well, I do have a website. It is www.betterrelationshipsnow.com. And, of course, the books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever, but you can also order them at a discount at the betterrelationshipsnow.com site. You can also find tools there, links to the blog that will encourage relationship issues and different information that will help you, tweets that will inspire and encourage you, because it's a daily decision. You might have decided 2 weeks ago that you were going to have a strong marriage, but today you might have let that go by the wayside. There are a lot of demands on our days, and so there'll be a lot of inspiration and a lot of encouragement to keep your relationship strong.
Hey, Karen, thanks so much for spending some time with us. It's been great talking with you this morning.
I appreciate the time. Thanks a lot, Tommy.
Thank you. That's Karen Budzinski. The book is How to Build an Enduring Marriage. It is 8:16.